It's good to be back with you. I enjoyed my time here a couple years ago with you, and I have enjoyed this conference just as much and maybe even just a little bit more. So I am looking forward to what God's going to do today. I trust, I hope, and I pray that God has been doing a work in your heart and your life. You know, yes, we've talked about money. There, we said it again, all right? We've talked about that, but I trust that God's working in your heart in other ways as well. You know, perhaps God is speaking to you about being a missionary right where you are. Perhaps God's speaking to you about being a missionary somewhere else in the world and surrendering to full-time missions. Perhaps God's speaking to your heart about praying more for the missionaries that you support or praying for more laborers. All of these things are part of the Great Commission. And I trust that God today, through this message, the message tonight, God will speak to your heart. I rejoice with you as a church where that thermometer is right now. But I'm trusting God is going to go much higher by tonight, and I would love to see your church meet and exceed the goal that has been set. So I'm praying towards that end. Pray with me. Now, for those of you who have not been here and maybe you don't remember me, let me give you a Reader's Digest version, if you will, of my testimony. Then we'll jump right into the Word of God. I was born and raised in Pennsylvania, and there at the age of 8, in a Sunday school class, I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. God called me into missions when I was 10 years old, just grew up working in that local church there. Went to the mission field. I met my wife while we were in college. Went to Alaska, spent 10 years in Alaska, first in Juneau, then in Talkeetna. Thrilled with what God was doing there. Thought I'd be there the rest of my life. But then God called me to be the Far North Director with BIMI. Did that for 7 years. And now, for the last 4.5 years, I've been the President and General Director of BIMI. So this coming June, by the way, will be our 25-year anniversary with BIMI. So thankful for what God has done over the last 25 years. And we, along with these missionaries, ask for your prayer in the ministry God has given to us. And we've got a table back there with prayer cards and all kinds of goodies on. So make sure you visit that after the service this morning. Take your Bibles now. Turn with me to Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14. In a few moments, we're going to look beginning at verse number 22. But the title of the message this morning is Peter's Example of Faith. Peter's Example of Faith. Now, when you think about Peter, you probably think of a lot of different things. He is an interesting character in Scripture. You know, Peter was the kind of guy, not just open mouth, insert foot, but Peter was sometimes the kind of guy, open mouth, change feet, okay? You know, he was the one who was quick to speak and quick to act and then think about it later after he had spoken or after he had acted. But I will say this about Peter. Peter was a man of faith. And what he did, he just acted on faith. He just believed God and said, this is what we're going to do. And, you know, sometimes he stepped out and it wasn't faith in God, it was faith in himself. But nonetheless, as we think about the majority of Peter's life, he acted on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you think about faith, and again, I would remind you, hopefully you do that because this is Faith Baptist Church. Amen. When you think about faith, what do you think about? How would you define faith if I were to ask you, hey, give me a definition of faith? What would you say? Answer that in your heart, even right now. You know, I remember even from Sunday school when I was a little kid, the acrostic, forsaking all, I trust Him. That works pretty good. That tells us a little bit about faith. I like that. But, you know, dare I say, probably most of us here today went to Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we can't get a better definition or description of faith than that because that comes straight from God's Word. But there is an aspect of faith today I would like to focus on as we look at Peter's example of faith. And it's this, and I want you to think about it. Faith is not believing in spite of evidence. It is obeying in spite of consequences. Think about that with me, all right? Faith is not just believing in spite of evidence. It's simply obeying in spite of the consequences. Now think about that aspect of faith as we begin reading Matthew chapter number 14, starting in verse number 22. And straightway, that is, by the way, just after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit! And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me! And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And then when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Lord, thank you for today. And thank you for Peter's example of faith. And I want to ask now, Lord, again, that you would help me in this time. Fill me with your spirit and with your power. Help me to bring this message now in that power and not in the power of my flesh. God, please open up our hearts and minds to what you have to say to us right now. Lord, it's so easy for our minds to be distracted by all the things that are going on in our lives. Lord, help us to set aside those distractions and truly right now focus on you and on your word and what you have to say to us. Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray that today will be their day of salvation. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today as we look at Peter's example of faith, there's three aspects or areas of his faith that I want us to see. Number one, I want you to see today his serving faith. He had a serving faith. He just simply served. He did that which Jesus told him to do. Number two, Peter also had a special faith. He's the only one that got out of the boat and walked on the water. But then also, I want to talk about Peter's saving faith. And for this, we'll go to John chapter number 6 later on. But when we talk about Peter's saving faith, we're talking about his public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, first of all, Peter's serving faith. Peter simply did what Jesus told he and the rest of the disciples to do. In verse 22, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. This was something the disciples had done before. Peter had done this before. This was a simple command for them to obey. And they simply obeyed. Peter simply obeyed and did what the Lord told him to do. Now, I think the application for us this morning is pretty simple. We need a serving faith. And those things that God tells us to do, those, if you will, simple things from His Word. Are we being obedient to do what He's told us to do? A couple of examples I thought of. Number one, baptism. If we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, have we been baptized? If so, praise God, because you understand that's the first step of obedience. But if you're here today and you know Christ, but you've never taken that step of obedience, hey, have a serving faith and say, that's what God wants me to do. And show the world my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I would encourage you, if you've never been baptized, talk with a pastor. Talk with somebody today and say, hey, I need to be baptized. You know, I also thought about how important it is to be in church when the church doors are open. And church membership and identifying with a good local church like this one here. You know, in Alaska, I remember I talked to a lot of people about being in church. You know, sometimes I was way out in the woods till I found somebody. And I'd talk to them and I'd say, hey, you know, come on to church. Be with us in church. Sometimes they'd profess salvation. Come on out and join with us. And they say, hey, listen, preacher, I can worship God here in the woods just as well as I can in the church house. And I told them, you know, you missed the whole point of it. The Bible says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And you know, I've had people say to me, well, preacher, you know, I don't really need to be in church. I can read my own Bible and, you know, I can get what I need spiritually speaking. And to that I say, how selfish. You know, when we come to church, it's not all about what we get. We're supposed to minister to others. Oh, how important it is that we have a serving faith. and just do what God told us to do. When the church doors are open, let's be there. Let's be faithful to be in God's house. I could mention here tithing. We talked about this the other night and the importance of tithing. 10%, the first 10%, it belongs to God. It's His. What are we supposed to do? Just have a serving faith. Do what He told us to do. Just obey Him and do what He's asked us to do. Well, we could go on a long list, but you understand what I'm talking about this morning. These are simple things from Scripture, basic things, and we need to have that simple serving faith as Peter did. Now, it's interesting to me, by the way, that as they did what Jesus told them to do, Jesus, verse 23, went up into a mountain apart to pray. And the Bible says, and when the evening was come, He was there alone. I don't know about you, but I've thought about this before. I wonder what the Lord's prayer list looked like. Wonder what all He prayed about in that mountain. I'm not sure, but dare I say, and I think I'm very, very safe to say, He was praying for those disciples. Because He knew this storm was on the way. He knew that they needed Him praying for them. And can I encourage us with this fact this morning? You understand that as we have a serving faith and we do that which God has called us to do, He is at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and I. I need Him interceding for me. And there's an encouragement to us in Romans chapter number 8. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And listen to this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And we could add there, or storm? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, and again we could add, nor storm, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I praise His name today that He is praying for me. And He's praying for you. He's praying for those who are diligently serving Him by faith. Now, let me point out something to you just so you don't miss it here. You do realize that these disciples, as they're in the boat and they're in the midst of the storm, they are in the very center of God's will. You see, there are some people who teach a health and wealth prosperity gospel. And they say, hey, as long as you're serving God and you're doing your best, you won't see storms. You won't have troubles in this life. Hey, folks, those folks are not preaching from the same Bible I'm preaching from. Peter, and maybe later on as he wrote in the book of 1 Peter, thought back to this storm. And he says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. As though some strange thing happened unto you. Peter said, hey, storms and trials are a part of this life. But, you know, it's interesting to me, as we think about those storms, it was the very thing that the disciples feared is what brought Jesus close to them in the middle of that storm. And, you know, I also thought about this, that it's in the middle of the storm is when God really can do a work in my heart and life, because He gets my attention. You know, when things are calm and things are good, sometimes I forget to keep my eyes on the Lord. And it's during that storm that He really does a work in my heart, in my life. And you know, we can be assured today that God uses storms for our good and for His glory. What's the key? The key for you and I is just to have a serving faith. Just to do whatever it is He asks us to do. And again, I would remind you, faith is not just believing in spite of evidence. It's just simply obeying despite the consequences. Whether it be storm, trial, whatever it is, just simple obedience to Him. Peter had a serving faith. But number two, Peter also had a very special faith. In verse 24, the Bible says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Think and picture the storm in your mind. The Bible says, and in the fourth watch of the night, by the way, that's somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m., I don't know about you, but between 3 and 6 a.m., I'm not so coherent, okay? So think about what these disciples are in the midst of at this point in time. And the Bible says, verse 25, that Jesus went on them walking on the sea. Verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. Now listen, let's not be too hard on the disciples. I can kind of identify with what they're going through. One time when I was in Alaska, a friend in the church there, he had a big old boat. I don't know how big it is to tell you it was, but it was a big boat. And he said, "Let's go fishing." And his son came with us. He was probably 8 or 9 years old. And this fellow and myself, and we went out fishing. We went to a place called Icy Straits. Great day for fishing. It was beautiful outside. The sun was shining. And we went out there and we went fishing. And it was fun. But, you know, after a while we realized, man, these swells are really getting high. And boy, it's really getting rough. And we started looking around and we realized that a storm was coming up fast, faster than we had even expected. We didn't even know it was on the way. And he said, "Listen, we have got to get back to shore." So he gave me a place that I was supposed to kind of sit and hold on to. And he told his son, he said, "Now son, you go down. There's a bottom part of the boat that was like a bed and an area where they could go down there." And he said, "You go down there." He said, "You stay down there. Do not come out." By this time, I'm really getting nervous, you know. And he says, "Here we go." And we took off. And boy, we would hit that swell and we'd come down the other side and we'd smack down. And boy, I'm holding on. And we'd hit the next one. We'd come down, holding on. And by the way, when we did get back, we looked at the boat, the fiberglass boat. It was been cracked because we had hit that water so hard. And we're on our way back. I think probably halfway back, his son came running out from underneath that bottom part of the boat. He's crying. He's crying. He's, "Daddy, Daddy." He says, "We're going to die. We're going to die." And I believed him. I really thought he was right. I did. So listen, I can identify with these disciples and what they're in the middle of here. And in all of this is going on, verse 27, straightway Jesus spake unto them saying, what? "Be of good cheer." Wow. You mean in the midst of a storm, we can have a good attitude? And we can be of good cheer? Surely we can. Why? Because he said, "It is I." That's what makes all the difference in the world. It is I. It was the one who just finished praying for them. It's the one from whose love they could never be separated. It's the one who knew this storm was going to be there long before it ever came. No wonder Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Now, Peter, he's the one, of course, who would speak up first. And this is interesting to me. The Bible says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Now, a couple quick things I need to mention here. Number one, if you're going to step out for the Lord, make sure it's Him who's speaking to you. Okay? You know, didn't we also already talk this week about, you know, we don't fill this cart out by emotions. We get ourselves in trouble. Make sure it's the Lord who has laid this figure on your heart. If you're going to step out for the Lord in any way, make sure it's the Lord who's speaking to you. But did you notice there also, he says, "Lord, if it's really you, bid me come unto thee on the water." Did you know that Peter asked to serve the Lord? Do you realize it's okay to ask the Lord to serve him? Do you know it's okay to ask the Lord, "Lord, would you let me be a missionary? Lord, would you let me give a certain amount to missions that I think you're really laying on my heart? Lord, would you let me get involved in this particular ministry in the church? Lord, would you let me do..." But what a privilege it is to ask Him. By the way, we don't have to wait for a bolt of lightning to hit us from heaven to go serve Him. Ask Him, "Lord, would you let me do this?" And that's what Peter's saying, Lord, would you let me do this?" And I love the Lord's answers to any questions that are asked Him in the Gospels. I love reading that part of it. And I love the Lord's answer here. He just simply says, "Come." I think it was a real calm. Come. In the midst of this storm. Yeah, Peter, come. And the Bible says, "And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Now stop right there. Some of you are jumping ahead and you've gotten to the point where he sinks. We'll get there later. But I want to point out a very important thing here. Peter walked on the water. That's an amazing thing to me. I've never walked on water. Anybody here? No, if you put your hand up, you put it right back down. Nobody here has walked on water. But Peter knows what it is to walk on water. Now, I don't know if you've thought about this, but I like, when I read something like this in Scripture, I like to use my sanctified imagination. Use your sanctified imagination. If you were Peter now, how would you get out of the boat? You ever thought about that? Now, I know me. My faith sometimes is just a little bit weak. And I have a feeling that probably if I'm getting out of the boat, one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to put my foot over the edge and I'm going to feel the water. You understand there's two things I'm looking for here. Number one, is it really going to hold me? You know, I've never walked on water before. What's this going to feel like? You know, I want to know if it's going to hold me. Number two, I'm going to be checking to see, is it cold?
Yeah.
You know, because if I do go down, how cold is this thing going to be? Now, that question, I'm sure, comes from because I spent 10 years in Alaska. You know, I tell you, it's an amazing thing. One year I had a guy who he had been saved before, but he finally realized what salvation was all about, and he finally realized he needed to be baptized by immersion. Because he had been sprinkled as a baby. He realized, man, that's not biblical. I gotta be immersed. And he said, "Preacher, would you baptize me?" I said, "Sure, I'll baptize you." And this is the middle of winter. He says, "Listen, I've got a creek behind my house," and he said, "That's where I want to be baptized." He said, "If I get a hole in the ice," he said, "would you baptize me?" And I don't know what was wrong with me, but I said, "Sure, if you get a hole in the ice, I will baptize you." And the whole time I'm praying, "Lord, please don't let him get through the ice. Don't let him get through the ice." And my wife, she is worried to death. She just pictures me taking him under, and he and I both going under, and all under the ice we go, and that's the last anybody sees of us. But see, you have to understand, it had already been 40 below for a long time, and I realized that ice was really thick. And he was out there with a digging iron and a chainsaw trying to cut through the ice, and praise God, he never got through. Woo! But when the ice broke off of the river in the springtime, he said, "Preacher, can we do it now?" I said, "We'll do it now." And so we had to put an extension ladder down into the river because the bank was so high and the snow was piled up so high. We got down there in that water. By the way, I put a thermometer in the water just because I wanted to see how cold the water was. The water itself was 35 degrees. Whew, man. We got in that water. I baptized him. And he came up. And by the way, believe it or not, there were three others who also wanted to be baptized at the same time. And I didn't force them to do this. They asked me to do it, okay? And so we got in there. And I'll tell you what, all four of them had exactly the same expression when I brought them back up. I thought one of them was going to have a heart attack on me. It was just absolutely amazing to me. But by the way, Pastor, I did find out four is the limit. Because after the fourth one, I couldn't feel my legs anymore. It was like, I got to get out of this water now. So you understand why, as I'm checking that water, I'd probably be checking to see, is it cold, you know? But this is Peter that we're talking about here, right? And so I'm not sure, but I just see Peter saying, "Okay, Lord, here I come." And I just see him coming right out of the boat and just walking on the water to go to Jesus. Now again, would you use your sanctified imagination? I wonder what Peter's thinking. What would you be thinking if you're walking on water? You know, at this point, he's got his eyes on Jesus, so you got your eyes on Jesus, but he's walking on that water. You know, I'm not sure exactly what he's thinking, but I can tell you one thing he's not thinking. I know Peter's not thinking, "Wow, look at what I'm doing. You know, this is my own power. This is pretty neat. This is what I'm doing." Now, Peter's thinking, "Wow, look at what the Lord's doing. This is amazing." And I don't know if you've ever thought about this either. Those disciples that were back in the boat, you ever thought about what they were thinking? You know, probably a good majority of them were saying, "Here goes Peter, that fanatic. He's always jumping into trouble. And this is going to be another one of those times. He's going to get himself into trouble." There was Simon the Zealot. Remember, he was a fighter. Can you hear him saying, "Fight the waves, Peter, you can beat them, go for it"? Judas, remember he held the bag, and he's probably thinking, "You know, since Peter's going to drown anyways, I'll just move his share of the money into my column, and I'll take it. It won't matter to him anyways, he'll be drowned." How about Thomas? Can you hear Thomas? "I doubt that he's going to make it. Just doubt that he's going to make it." You know, but I wonder how many other disciples in that boat were sitting back there thinking, "Why didn't I ask if I could walk to Jesus? I could be right there with Peter and we together could be walking to Jesus." Now, as you think about this story, would you apply it to yourself today? And here's my question to you. Where are you in this story? Where do you plug in? You know, perhaps you're still back on the shore. A lot of Christians are still just hanging out on the shore. They've never gotten in the boat. They've never really gotten involved in serving the Lord the way that they should. And if that's you today, I want to encourage you, get in the boat. Get in on God's program. Do what God's asking you to do. But you know, perhaps you say, I'm in the boat. And dare I say, the majority of the folks here today, I'm going to make the assumption you're in the boat. You're doing what God's asked you to do, and praise God for it. But maybe today God's challenging you to get out of the boat and to walk on the water to go to Jesus. You say, what do you mean? Maybe God's challenging you about doing something that is well beyond even your imagination of what you thought God would ever ask you to do. You know, maybe there is that faith promise commitment that He's been laying a finger on your heart, and all you can say is, Lord, there's just no way. God, maybe I better pray about this again, Lord. Maybe God's laid upon your heart that daily you're going to be praying for missionaries. You say, well, that's a lot of work every day to pray. Maybe that's what God's asking you to do. Don't know. Perhaps God's speaking to your heart about going to the mission field. I'll tell you what, I've been burdened this week for 3 different mission fields. Boy, and if you talk to any one of these missionaries after the service, you know what they're going to say their greatest need is? More laborers. More laborers. Come over and help us. Maybe God's speaking to you about surrendering to go to the mission field. And you know, some would say, well, preacher, you just don't understand. There's just no way I could ever leave the place that I know. This is my comfort zone. Preacher, there's no way I could ever go to Bible college and learn all that. Preacher, there's no way I could ever go to a place like Greenland or Alaska or Zambia or Korea. There's no way I could ever learn a language and do all of those things. Can I remind you that there is no way Peter could ever walk on the water apart from the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? And you know, if you step out for God, and these missionaries would verify what I'm saying, you step out for God and you begin to walk towards Jesus and walk with Jesus, you understand, hey, this is not what I'm doing. Because the power is not in and of ourselves. The power comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about what we can do, but it's about what He wants to do through us. But are we willing to just step out for the Lord Jesus Christ and do what He's asking us to do? Now, I told you we'd get back to this, so I at least have to mention it, but I'm going to do it quickly. Peter sinks. He does. And let's not be too hard on Peter. There's a big old storm going on around him. And you already know the lesson here. There's going to be a lot of storms that are going to surround you in this next missions year. Whatever commitment it is you make to Him concerning missions, that commitment is going to be tried. What do we need to do? Not focus on the storm, but keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what will keep us faithful to Him. Boy, I need to hurry on. Turn with me now to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. And as you're turning to John 6, I would just remind you that the context of John 6 is the same as Matthew chapter number 14. Earlier in John 6, you had the feeding of the 5,000. After that account, you have the account of Jesus walking on the water. So we're in the same context as we come to John chapter number 6. And I want to talk about Peter's saving faith. Peter's saving faith. And by the way, let me mention this before we even move on here. When we talk about Peter's special faith, can I remind you again? It was not a matter of Peter just standing in the boat trying really hard to believe. It was just simply him obeying, despite whatever the consequence would be. Jesus said to come, and Peter came. That is faith. Now, Peter's saving faith. Look with me, beginning in verse number 66 here. Jesus has just preached a message, and He's talked about the fact that He is the bread of life. And many of His disciples and many others couldn't understand what He's saying. It was not a saying that they were ready to accept. And verse number 66 of John chapter 6, it says, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Let me emphasize to you here that Peter did not open mouth, insert foot, or change feet. But Peter here hit the nail on the head. Peter proclaimed truth. He publicly professed his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and who Jesus Christ was. As Jesus asked that question in verse 67, hey, will you also go away? As many of the disciples had already done, verse 66 tells us, and by the way, as Judas Iscariot soon would do, as verse 70 and 71 tell us, Peter comes back with the answer. He says, Lord, he says, who else would we go to? We don't have anybody else to turn to. He says, you're the one who has the words of eternal life. And he says, I love this, verse 69. He says, we believe. He said, hey, we are sure. We are positive that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This morning, I want to reiterate Peter's words. Jesus Christ indeed is the Son of God. Salvation is only found in and through Jesus Christ. When we talk about saving faith, that's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in Him and in Him alone. There are so many people today that are placing their faith in so many other things and calling it salvation. As I travel, as I go on visitation, as I talk with people, it's my habit to ask them about their testimony. I ask them, hey, do you know Jesus Christ? Or are you a Christian? Boy, I get all kinds of answers to that question. It's amazing to me some of the answers that I get. Sometimes they go to a religion and say, well, I'm Catholic, or, you know, I'm Presbyterian, or I'm Lutheran, or, hey, some of them say, I'm an Independent Baptist. And I have to remind them, no, it's not about a religion. It's about a relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've had some say to me, well, preacher, listen, I was born in the United States of America. That's a Christian nation, so surely that makes me a Christian. I've had some say similar to that, well, preacher, I was born into a Christian home. Surely if I was born into a Christian home, that makes me a Christian. Listen, if I was born in a garage, would that make me a car? Not at all. Not at all. We're not talking about that first birth, that earthly, that physical birth. What we're talking about is the new birth. You've heard Jesus in John chapter number 3 talk about being born again. My question to you today is not what church have you been a part of, not what family have you been born in, not into what country have you been born in, but have you ever been born again? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you're here today and maybe you've just put your trust and your faith in something else for your salvation, a lot of people say, well, I'm a good person. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, dear friend, if you're relying in yourself to get you to heaven, you're relying in a sinner, yourself, to get you to a place where there is no sin. Hey, listen. Jesus Christ has paid it all. If you try to help Him with your salvation, to try and work your way to heaven, what an offense that is to Jesus Christ, who says, I've paid it all. It's done. Here is the gift of salvation. All we need to do is reach out and accept that gift. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is there a time in your life when you've called upon Him, when you've asked Him to give you that new birth, that salvation? Well, dear friend, I want to assure you today that Jesus, like He said to Peter, He's saying to you, come. Jesus is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to Him. In a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. And at that time, what we want to do is invite you to come to Jesus. We're going to ask you to come here, and we're going to have somebody take the Bible and show you how you can receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today. Not trusting in good works, not trusting where you were born, not trusting in a religion or a church, but trusting only in Him for salvation. But Christians, you understand there's an application here for you and I as well. Peter publicly proclaimed his saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand, that's been the emphasis of this whole week. publicly proclaiming our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to those that live across the street from us, but also those that live in Korea, those that live in Zambia, those who live in Greenland, those who live in Alaska, those who live all around the world, going into all the world and preach the gospel. That's our responsibility. Do you understand, Christian, what a privilege it is to be saved? To not be in darkness? To have the light of life? To have partaken, John chapter number 6, of He who is the bread of life? Oh, how selfish it is for us if we're just going to keep that message to ourselves. We need to be like Peter and say, hey, I want to proclaim that message. Maybe God's speaking to your heart about walking across the street and talking to your neighbor. Perhaps God's speaking to your heart about that faith promise commitment and having a part in spreading the gospel, not just across the street, but around the world. Oh, what an opportunity we have to step out by faith and tell others about our saving faith. How do we do that? Can I remind you again? It's not where we just sit in the church pew and we just try really hard to believe. We just simply obey in spite of the consequences. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Peter sets a great example for us when it comes to faith. He had a serving faith. He simply did that which Jesus asked him to do. He had a special faith. He made sure it was the Lord, and as the Lord gave him that invitation, after he asked him to come, he walked on the water. He did that which he could not do in and of himself, but something only Jesus could do in and through and for him. And Peter, he had a saving faith. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He wasn't trusting in anything or anyone else other than Jesus. And he was not ashamed of it. He proclaimed it to the whole world, that even you and I today hear that same proclamation as we read it in Scripture. What about you? What about your faith? How does your faith compare to Peter's example of faith? Would you stand with me?